He sealed his fate with a song, the most famous psalm in Scripture, by David Mathis. The Lord says to my Lord, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool." Psalm chapter 110, verse 1. He almost sealed his fate that Sunday, riding in on the humble steed, Matthew chapter 21, verse 7, and Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. He had stirred up the whole city with messianic hopes, Matthew chapter 21, verses 10 and 11. Then Monday, he cleansed the temple and refused to rebuke the children's hosannas, Matthew chapter 21, verses 15 and 16. Now there was no turning back, and he confirmed it with his words on Tuesday. With each passing hour, Jesus drew nearer to the lion's jaws. In just 3 days, he would be shamed and humiliated, tortured and executed. Each step towards Calvary met with increasing friction. Yet on the inside, he was singing. As he walked that harrowing road, he was rehearsing the Psalms and living out the ancient script with every act of faith. On Tuesday, he drew the psalm from its blessed scabbard, stumping the brightest minds of his day and silencing the loudest mouths. Now, their only recourse would be to kill him. David called him Lord. When John the Baptist came from the wilderness, Psalm chapter 110 was among the greatest riddles in Scripture, and yet it became the single most quoted Old Testament chapter in the New. It all began here on the Tuesday before Jesus died, when Jesus himself planted his foot on ground so holy and high that no one else dared trod there. That Tuesday was intense. He captured their attention with a donkey and a whip, and then fed them a full day of teaching, showing the Jerusalem elites what the Galileans had seen, one who spoke with authority, Matthew chapter 7, verse 29. And Mark chapter 1, verse 22. He didn't sidestep the inevitable conflict with the powers, but strode back into their den and held his ground. When they questioned his authority, he answered with three parables, Matthew chapter 21, verse 28 through chapter 22, verse 14. Baffled as they were, he made it plain enough he directed his riddles against them. Having endured their challenges with patience, he then turned the tables with Psalm chapter 110. At last, he asked, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" As expected, they answered, "The son of David." Now enter Psalm chapter 110, the zinger. "If then David called the Christ Lord, how is he his son? How could the younger be greater than the older? Unless..." But the dialogue was done. No one was able to answer him a word, nor from that day did anyone dare to ask him any more questions. Matthew chapter 22, verse 46. At God's right hand. Jesus would not leave Psalm chapter 110 behind on Tuesday. He would unsheathe its revelation again as he stood trial late Thursday night before the high priest. He remained silent at the parade of false witnesses, Matthew chapter 26, verses 59 through 63. Finally, the high priest erupted, "I adjure you by the living God, tell us if you are the Christ, the Son of God." Jesus then willingly sealed his fate, combining Psalm chapter 110 with the prophecy of Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. "You have said so, but I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power, and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the high priest tore his robes and said, "He has uttered blasphemy. What further witnesses do we need? You have now heard his blasphemy." Matthew chapter 26, verses 64 and 65. Off he went to be condemned, scourged, and crucified, with Psalm chapter 110 fresh in his mind. On the other side of the grave, his apostles would follow their pioneer and unleash David's greatest oracle. Peter preached Psalm chapter 110 at Pentecost, Acts chapter 2 verses 33 through 36, and before the high priest, Acts chapter 5 verse 31. Stephen's last words echoed Psalm chapter 110, Acts chapter 7, verses 55 and 56. Paul stepped onto that same holy ground. Romans chapter 8, verse 34, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 20, and Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. And what do we say of Hebrews, which had Psalm chapter 110 at its very heart, quoted 8 times? The great riddle of David's prophecy gave way to one of the New Covenant's great revelations. We might even summarize the message of the New Testament like this: Psalm chapter 110 has come true. Jesus is not only of David's line, but also his Lord, now seated at the Father's right hand. But before the great oracle fed the faith of the church, these words nourish the faith of Jesus himself. 9 Great Promises. What did Christ hear as he rehearsed Psalm chapter 110? How did David's great oracle give hope to David's greater son? Jesus would have tasted at least 9 promises of his Father's provision in these 7 short verses. The first is implicit: until I make your enemies your footstool, Psalm chapter 110, verse 1. God will do it. He will see to the victory. Then 8 explicit promises follow, seen in the 8 repetitions of will in English. How would these faith-feeding pledges have landed on Jesus as he stared down death and listened again and again to the psalm? Verse 1, I will both defeat your enemies and put them under your feet for your everlasting joy. Verse 3, I will work in your people's hearts to follow you gladly, not begrudgingly. Verse 3, I will refresh you continually, not leave you languishing. Verse 4, I am God and will not change my mind. Verse 5, I will defeat leaders who oppose you. Verse 6, I will repay unbelievers who threaten you. Verse 6, I will destroy those who mean harm against you. Verse 7, I will give you all you need to endure. Verse 7, I will preserve you in what is coming upon you. His Father's right hand. As Jesus sings verse 1, he remembers who he is to his Father, his right-hand man. How emboldening to walk into that holy week knowing himself more than Son of David, and even more than Lord of David. He pursues Calvary's arduous path knowing something greater still. He is the Son of his Father, who will welcome him to his right hand. What is the deepest meaning of Jesus being at his Father's right hand? This: the very power of God Almighty is for him. With unassailable sovereign muscle, the Father will execute perfect justice, in his perfect timing, for every uncovered detractor of his Son, all the way to the top, to shatter kings and shatter chiefs. Psalm chapter 110, verses 5 and 6. Weak and vulnerable as this lamb may look before his shearers, he has been sent by his Father with a mighty scepter in his hand to rule even from the cross in the midst of his enemies. Psalm chapter 110, verse 2. Here, during the greatest week in the history of the world, the Son knows himself not only destined for his Father's right hand, but he acts by faith as his Father's right hand. He serves as the ultimate human instrument through which God channels his power to remake the world.